The Believer's Walk of Faith is paid for by Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers.
If you treat your faith like a seed, you'd plant it. And you'd plant it by saying it. Once you speak it, the soil of your heart grabs it. This is putting faith to work. You can't say what you see. You got to say what he said. When you say what he said, he can watch over his word and make it good. Now speak the word only. Faith is your servant. Now put him to work. This idea of faith, one is faith sees. Faith sees. There's a couple of places you can see for that. You can turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. And over in 2 Kings chapter 6, he says, this is when Elisha and his servant Gehazi were surrounded by the enemy. It says here, verse 15, we just start there. And when the servant of man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, master, how shall we do?" In other words, "I am scared." He answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Glory to God. Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes." Now, question, weren't his eyes open to have him to see the enemy? Yes. But now he's saying, open his eyes. So it tells me we got a pair of eyes that most folk don't have open. And that's why they can't see anything. And I'm saying that open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. It didn't even say anything about round about unbelief, because the other guy had unbelief. It was round about Elijah. Now, those angels were there. They were there. They were positioned there by God. And this man of God saw them. Now, when you see them, true enough, you can see them with your spirit, but it's different from seeing them with your natural eyes. In your spirit, we call it, for the most part, discerning. Discerning, because it's another level of seeing. And that's why in the kingdom, you're not really taught by learning, you're taught by discerning. That's why the academic world can't compete with it. As a matter of fact, let's see, I put some things down here. The natural world is trying to compete with the spiritual world, and it can't do it. Because the tendency is to think that your intellect can get over into this, and it can't. It can't. Now you can see this verse when he talked about, I'll just turn to it for a moment, and talk about in 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. He says in verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the what kind of things? Foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are." Why? So that no flesh can glory in his presence. Now, thank God that you can go to a university or a high school or whatever have you. But you don't have to be smart to have faith. You better write that down. Somebody in here better write that down. You don't have to be smart to have faith. Now, this really bothers people who paid a lot of money for some big education. It really bothers them. And in matter of fact, it makes them somewhat jealous of it, because they have just spent all this money trying to be smart. And and I'm not really talking against academics now. I'm saying that's fine. But you'll find that you can't be too smart for God, because He's the one that put that brain in your head in the first place. And you're going to find that faith usually always puts you in a place of ridicule. It puts you in a position for people, if it doesn't work, to laugh at you. And so smart people don't want to be laughed at. They don't want to take any chances. They all got all kinds of risk formulas out there and so forth and so on. But God will give you a plan, and He doesn't even give you a backup, because the first one works. And so He'll just tell you what to do. I'm just saying, this is faith at work. And you and I all have been given the measure of faith. Put it up there, please. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. So God, He doesn't talk much to smart people. I mean, you can have a PhD and God will talk to you if you don't think you're that smart. I mean, you know, smarter than God is what I'm talking about. Because it is amazing how many schemes it can come up with. And the enemy wants you to do this. I put something down here. And one of his jobs is to keep you in the natural realm. And if he can keep you in that natural realm, he'll put a ring in your nose and lead you all over town. And the next thing you know, you're either going to run out of money or run out of time. Because that's what he specializes in. He keeps you in time. He can dominate you. Take him out of time, and he can't. I'm going out of time, and we'll talk about out of time in just a minute. Look what he says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, though through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think what? Soberly, according as God has dealt to how many men? Every man what? The measure of faith. All right, let's see whose faith it is. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, please. Over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, we see an account here of Jesus. And he has this issue with this fig tree. Verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree far off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to it, say it again.
Yes.
Now, it is an inanimate object. So it, you can speak to things that can't talk back. You can speak to problems. You can speak to trees. You can speak to storms. You can speak to disease. You can speak to it. Glory to God. Boy, that's worth something right there. That's worth coming right there. And Jesus said to it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. It didn't say the tree heard it. It said the disciples heard it. Now, I'm reading what it says here. He said in verse 19, and when the evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, they passed by and saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter calling to remembrance and said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said to him, Have faith in God. Now underline it. Have faith in God. Now, another way to say that is have the what? God kind of faith, all right? But let me embellish that just a little bit more. Have God's faith. Have God's faith. Now, what he's going to do is give you his faith. Human faith is insufficient. You need God's faith. Now, when you have God's faith, you can do things. Come on now, I got to finish this sentence. You can do things just like your father when you have his faith. Because his faith is what made all of this. His faith is what made all of this. Look, I'm coming back to that place. Just look, if you will, at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Just look at that. He said this, through faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. Now, what is he saying? That which was seen didn't come out of something visible. It came out of something invisible. So God's faith was involved in manifesting this earth. His faith. Now, he gave you his faith to manage it. Say amen to this. So what we have to do is we have to develop this faith. We have to learn how to use this faith, how to make faith work for us. Because if God is depending on us to steward this earth and to be fruitful, replenish, and multiply, so forth, he wants us to develop our faith. So we have to develop this kind of faith, the same kind of faith God has, we have. So now let's make this faith work for us the same way God made it work for him. And Jesus is demonstrating. So he released his words, filled with faith. No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And the disciples, not overheard, they heard it. Because he wasn't trying to make it so they didn't hear it. When he went in the house of Jairus, here's what he said when he showed up in Mark chapter 5. He said this, your daughter is not dead, she's just asleep. Now, if that in the natural didn't qualify for a lie, I don't know what did. She was graveyard dead. But he was operating on a higher level of truth. And the truth of God is the highest level of reality. Say amen to that. And I'm saying as he spoke that word, something happened. Now, why did it happen? Because he believed that what he said was going to come to pass. Stay with me now. He spoke it because he believed what he's going to say was going to come to pass. Now, what was the reaction of the people once he said it? What was the reaction? They what? They laughed at him. What is the reaction of people with you when you say stuff like that? They gonna laugh at you, but should that stop you from saying? I'm saying they don't know what they're doing. You know what you're doing. Now, what are you doing? When you do that, you're not looking linear. You're not looking in time, waiting on some time for something to happen. Because in the spirit, it has already happened. And only thing you're doing is going vertical. You're going up in the spirit and superimposing the invisible over the visible. I better come over here. You are going up in the spirit to something that has already been done before the foundation of the world and superimposing that over the visible. So that's why faith is always win. Now, If you ever go in the future, you've just looked linear. If you just look linear, you have just put faith in time. And if you put faith in time, then you're not vertical anymore. You are linear. And if you're linear, you're out of faith. You don't have faith. But when you know that it's already done, you know that it, come on, you already done. There is an assurance inside of you that this deal is already done. Now, the only thing left for me to do is say it. Now, I gotta say it, because if I can't say it, God can't do it. So I got to call things that as though they, because they already are. Now, stop talking about I'm gonna get my debts paid. Stop talking about I'm gonna get my healing. Once the devil puts you in time, he can keep you in time. What you need to do is let go of time and understand faith is always. This is one of the biggest reasons why the Christian community is not benefiting from their own relationship with God and their sons as sons and daughters of Christ, of God, and having the benefits of that relationship. One of the biggest reasons. The biggest reason is the tense. It's the tense. They're still putting it in the future. It's already done. Now, not only do you have to say it's already done, you gotta believe it's already done. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And don't be trying to minimize it so that you, if it doesn't work, you don't look that bad, or trying to not work God too hard. Put it back up there.
Amen.
Because what God's got for you is the best.
Amen.
It what He laid up for you is the best. Say amen to this.
Amen.
Now this is very important. Now I'm just saying, you know, he doesn't have a lot of hand-me-downs up there. Now there's nothing wrong with that, but he does have some new stuff. When the prodigal son came back home, he said, "Bring me the what kind of robe? The best." He didn't say, "Bring me the one on sale." Now that's all right. You can go down to sale, get one on sale. But see, when I start talking like this, see. What happens with faith? Faith converts your humanity to divinity.
Amen.
And what you got to do is understand that God is bringing you into a whole new dimension of seeing, speaking, and believing.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So what you got to do is come on in.
Amen.
Who was that? Bishop Oedipo. He said, "Nobody on my staff will ever tell me I don't have no money." He said, "If they do, it's the last time they'll tell me that." He won't even tell them. Well, how did he know? He got to figure out some other way to tell him, because he won't. Why? Because he wouldn't let that come out of their mouth. Now, I'm talking about something now. I'm talking about one of the reasons why the enemy does not want you to clean up your speech. Is because his job is to keep you not believing what you say is going to come to pass. See, his job is to keep you into, "My feet are killing me. Oh, girl, I'm just dying to go." See, he's to keep you. That's where he's to keep you. Because he knows that if you check your speech and you believe what you say, then when you speak to that mountain, it's going to move.
That's right. That's right.
The problem comes in when you've had all this corrupt communication all day, and all of a sudden, here comes, boom, something happened in the house, and you're trying to speak to it. Well, your spirit is not trained now. It's hard for it to bring it forth. And so what you got to do is go back to that Bible, and he talks about no corrupt communicate, talks about so forth, and you got to clean that thing up. That's why, one of the reasons why you saw the centurion And remember, the centurion came to Jesus. It's Mark, Matthew chapter 8. And he came to Jesus about his servant was lying at home, wherever he was, sick of the palsy. Jesus said, well, I'll come and heal him. He said, you don't need to come to the house. Guess what? Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Watch this. Because I'm a man under authority.
Amen.
And I got soldiers under me, and I say to those, go, and he goes, one, come, and he comes, and they obey me. So what is he saying here? He's saying, wait a minute, I respect words.
Amen. Yeah.
I respect words. I'm going to tell you something. You've got to watch. You've got to watch being around loose lips. Now, let me just tell you what I mean. Now, you think about this. Joshua and Caleb came back and said something. And they said, let me get my note. They said, let us go up at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it, didn't they? Now look what happened, chapter 13 and verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they're stronger than we. What difference does that make? See, what difference does that make if you're operating by faith? Faith commits God. He's looking for faith. The Bible says when they opened up that roof and let that man down, when Jesus saw their faith. Say amen to this. Those 10 lepers there were with Jesus, and next thing you know, they cried out. I mean, they were outside the gate. They said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. They start going and start getting healed. Why? Because they had to show some faith. You can believe and sit there, and nothing will happen. But when you get up and start talking and walking, then something's about to happen. Jesus begins to teach on this principle. First, he said, have faith in God. Now, what am I saying? Have God's faith. Now, how does God's faith work? It works vertically. It doesn't work linear. You got to say, hey, it already has done. And you got to call things that what? Be not as though they were. Now, how do I build this in my system? At first, when I say something that I need by faith and I first say it, my faith is not built. So when I first say it, it's almost like I'm just saying things, but I'm really building something. I'm building in the unseen realm in my spirit. And once this gets built up enough and I say it again, then now it's changing something on the outside. Mark 11, verse 23, he says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say. So you got to say something that a lot of times people won't say because they don't see how it's going to be done. But you don't need to see how it's going to be done. Faith is going to do the work. Whatever God will deliver into your hand must first be declared with your mouth. You got to say something. Let the redeemed of the Lord, let them say so. Now, I'm giving you putting faith to work because you've had it. But he's not working. I told you that story of me being in that time where I was in California in a meeting, and I left early. It was in IBM at that time, and I left early, and the man picked me up in the limo, and I got to the airport, and he just a little small talk and so forth. And I got to the airport, and I saw I was running a little bit behind, so I went to jump. As he parked, pulled up at the curb, I just jumped out of the car, and he came around, and I thought he was going to absolutely cry. He said, sir, I was going to get that door for you. I said, well, I had to get out. He said, sir, I was going to get it for you. Now, notice what I did. I took away his work. I wouldn't let him work. And faith is asking you to let him work. Faith can turn your problem around in 24 hours. And what happens is we somehow don't see the value in developing faith. We're still trying to lean on people or a system to support us. That keeps you in Egypt. God won't have that. And I'm saying now this conference, this little refresher, is to get you stirred up in your faith again. We got to put faith to work. So this man came and we got on board. He closed the door to the jet. And this is what he said. Boy, you caught me just in time because I'm almost out of crew time. It was his last run to Chicago. I'm just saying, my faith did the work. You're not to toil or lose 1 ounce of sleep for anything.
Amen.
Matter of fact, you're not even to think hard about it. And just let faith do the work. Now, two kinds of faith. Dominating faith and creative faith. All right, let's look at dominating faith. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Are y'all still with me so far? Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and look at verse 1. Verse 35, please. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said to them, "Let us pass over to the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, he was asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, "Master, don't you care that we're about to die?" I'm putting it in my own words now. And he arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "What? Peace be still." And the wind ceased. And what happened? That was a great calm.
Amen.
Then the Bible says, he said to them, "Why are you so what? Fearful. How is that you have no what? Faith." Now, some people say that God does things so that you can get in a situation to strengthen, your faith. And he uses bad situations to strengthen your faith. Now, this bad situation wasn't going to strengthen their faith. This was going to kill them. Am I right about it? All right? Now, how did he stop the storm? He spoke to it. Glory to God, have mercy. And when he spoke to it and said, "Peace be still," the storm obeyed him.
Amen.
Wait a minute. Let's get a better reading. It obeyed what? His faith. He released faith.
Amen.
That airplane situation obeyed my what? My faith.
Glory to God.
And it'll obey yours. It's the same faith that God used when he created everything. God giving you faith to dominate situations. So no longer are situations going to get the best of you. You're going to get the best of situations from now. From now on, you're going to tell situations what to do. All right? Creative faith. Let's look at Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. Over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, say creative faith.
Creative faith.
It says in verse 29, and Jesus departed from thence. He came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee. He went up to a mountain there and sat down there. And great multitudes came to him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. And they cast him down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be made whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see. And what did they do? They glorified the God of Israel. New parts for a body. I said new parts. In Revelation 21 and verse 5, look what Jesus says. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. I'm saying new houses, new cars, come on now. New wardrobes, come on now. Come on, new jobs. Listen, how many of you get a new car and like the way it smells? Glory to God. There's nothing like the way it smells, is it? It just smells new. You go on the showroom floor, you can smell new. Just smells new. God gives you new stuff. Now, what am I doing? I'm building up your faith. Why? Because faith is the substance of things what? Hope for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. There's a lot of stuff that you can't see in the natural eye that you can perceive with your spirit. And once you can see it with your spirit, as far as you can see, he's going to give you. He just wants you to perceive it. If you can perceive it, you can have it. Look what he says in 2 Kings chapter 5. This is when a man named Naaman went to the prophet and tried to get healed of leprosy. Look what the prophet said to him. Verse 10, the prophet did this. Elijah sent a messenger down to him saying, go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Did that make sense? No. Did it make faith? Yes. Did it make sense? Did it make faith? Yes. So when you talk in faith, it doesn't make sense. When you talk in sense, it doesn't make faith. So he's talking faith here. Go wash in a pool. What does that have to do with me getting rid of leprosy? Just do what the man says. So look what he did in verse 14. Come on down there, please. It says, and he went down and dipped himself how many times? 7 times. Suppose he had dipped 6 times. Nothing would have happened because the Holy Ghost is not going to move on words that haven't been spoken. I said the Holy Ghost is not going to move on words that haven't been spoken. See, you've got authority in the earth. You remember Jesse Duplantis? How many of y'all remember him? And what he said, God said, Jesse, I am God. He said, okay, I go along with that. He said, and I have the power to take your life. And Jesse said, that's correct. Oh, huh? He said, but I do not have the authority. Jesse said, what? He said, I have the power to take your life, but I do not have the authority. See, God turned the authority of the earth over to who? Over to mankind. And he didn't leave it with himself. He turned it over to mankind. That's why he can't get back in here and let you pray. He can't get back in here and let you give him permission. Say amen to that. That's why God had to come in the earth as a man. Jesus was a man. He was fully God and fully man, and he put his Godhead ability aside, because if he operated as God, he'd be illegal here and he couldn't do anything. He said, Jesse, there's a lot of people that are up here in heaven say that I brought them up here. But Jesse, I had nothing to do with it. Their mouth brought them up here. So they said words that gave Satan permission to take their life and put them up there. I'm telling you, I won't even repeat what a doctor says about me. You won't ever get that to come out of my mouth. You won't ever get that. Now, I'll find some other way to say something if he said something wrong, but I'm telling you right now, I will not repeat it. The devil will never get me to curse myself. He will never get me to say amen to that. Now, understand, this is not for everybody. This is for people who are planning on using faith to move mountains in this earth. And I'm here to tell you right now that there is a group of people that God is raising up in these last days that will not take down, will not accept the devil's report, will not bow down to some political, will not be used by bribes and money, but it will be a people that will decree a thing and it shall be established. God is raising up a people that are not ashamed of the gospel. What are we doing? Putting faith to work. Go dip 7 times. Didn't make no sense because it made faith. And what you need is faith. And you need somebody that's not afraid to preach faith. It always puts you out in a place where you could be laughed at. But wait till the end. You got the last laugh. I'm just saying that the enemy, one of the first things he uses is symptoms. He's got a symptom spirit. And that spirit will put symptoms and have you to accept it. It's like somebody knocking at the door. You answer the door, they got a big box of snakes. And the question is, are you going to receive it? See? And you got to say, that is not truth. The truth is, I'm healed. Oh, you supposed to say the man told him he had high blood pressure? He said, no, I don't. The man said, I got the machine right here. He said, I don't care what the machine says. He said, I take communion and whatever running Jesus runs in me. Said his blood pressure came down that night. He can't stay there. And I'm telling you right now, God has planned for you to live long and strong. But you got to do it how? You got to do it by faith. You let go of your faith, and God has to move out of the way. Because he can't do anything for you apart from faith. So I'm just saying, look what kind of happened to this man, verse 14, when he dipped 7 times. He went down, dipped 7 times, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like the flesh of a what? Can I say newborn? Yes. God makes all things new. Now you say, well, what happened, Lord? If I've gone to the doctor, if I've said so, it doesn't make any difference. I just read something the other day. I don't know whether I read it here. I read it at another meeting. The lady said, hey, your meeting in Detroit when you prayed for people. She said, I had a stent in my leg. She said, and you prayed, something happened. I felt heat and so forth and so on. And she said, I got home. She had some rods or something in her leg. Got home, the rods was gone. And the leg was healed. See, God, Smith Wigglesworth did it like this. He came trying to witness to this guy. The guy didn't want to hear it. And so Smith just kind of let him alone. Well, the guy died. And so what happened, Smith came home that day and his wife wasn't there. He said, where is she? She's down to such and such a house. He passed away. She said, oh, did he? Well, maybe now I can witness to him. So he went on down there and the man, whose body was still upstairs, and he walked in the main play and he said, where is he? And Smith's wife said, Smith, don't. She knew what was going to happen. Say amen. That's all. That's what they ought to be saying to you when you come in the room. Oh, don't. Don't. Because they know you're fixing to do something. And what happened? Smith said, well, you know, he talked kind of rough. He wouldn't listen to me when he was alive. Now maybe he'll listen to me now. And he went up there. Took that man's body, pulled him off that bed or out that thing that he was in, and stood him up on the wall, because his body had started to form, rigor mortis had started, and stood him up to the wall, and stood back and pointed at him and said, in the name of Jesus, walk! And that man's body jerked, and he came right off that wall and said, and went and received the Lord right there. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. I'm going to say this. I think the biggest obstacle in the church walking like this is somebody preaching like this. I think if the preaching went forth enough of how supernatural you are, then pretty soon it'll get into your heart. And everywhere you go, miracles will follow you. I said I'm talking to somebody over here right now. Everywhere you go, miracles will follow you. Now let's look at Luke chapter 17, please. So you can see, we're not going to back off. We're going to get this word. We're going to talk about it. We're going to build your faith up. Because you know faith talks. I won't say the rest, but faith talks. And I'm just saying to you that when your faith is where it's supposed to be, watch this, you have a different language. You have a different language. It's almost like people can't understand you. You're talking English, but it doesn't make sense. My wife is believing for that job, and then we agreed on it. Then she started confessing it. God said, well, go ahead and tell her to put down the exact type things that she wants for this job, that wants it in computers, 10 minutes from the house, so forth, and an automobile with it. And she got that and started confessing that. And one day, Brother Backus, a friend of mine who was in seminary with me, he came over to the house looking for me, and she was on the front lawn. Hey, Sister Veronica, is Bill in? Yeah, he's in the house. You got your job yet? Yeah, I got it. Where is it? I don't know where it is, but I got it. Now that takes. See, I'm saying this. You can't be that bold if you don't see anything.
Amen.
You can't manufacture this. Faith is the substance of things not seen. Hope for and things not seen. Meaning that it's there. You know it's there. It's a confidence that it is there. Say amen to that. All right, look at verse 5. Luke 17, verse 5. And the apostles said to the Lord, what? Increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of what? Mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted into the sea, and what would it do? It would obey you. It would obey your faith. But which of you having a servant plowing? And that's just where a lot of people don't go, right here. And feeding cattle will say unto him by and by, when he has come in from the field, go and sit down to meat. Check it out. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward you shall eat and drink. And what am I saying to you? Faith is your servant.
Amen.
Now put him to work. When Jesus spoke to that tree, check it out. Did he stand there and look at the tree?
No.
No. When you put your faith on one project, you can go put your faith on another.
Amen. Praise God.
And it can take care of them all at the same time.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now, how about the manifestation of your faith? The more faith you develop, the faster the manifestation.
Amen.
I'll say it again. The more faith you develop, the faster the manifestation. So notice, he didn't have to stay by the tree. All he had to say was words. He's gone. Now he's down in Jerusalem, turning over some cash registers. But meanwhile, faith was what?
Working.
Working. Came back the next morning, faith had finished the job.
Amen.
And faith doesn't come back to the house till the job's done.
Amen.
Faith is loyal servant. Why? He's used to working for God.
Amen.
God has given you a servant for the believer. Are you a believer?
Yes, sir.
Work your faith. Well, I trust that you were blessed by that powerful teaching. Well, from Genesis to Revelation, we see God's desire to prosper His people. Today is Offering Day on the broadcast, and I'd like to share a key principle that will build your faith for increase. You are under a covenant of increase with God. God says in Psalm chapter 115 and verse 14, "The Lord shall increase you more and more." In verse 12, He says, "We are on God's mind." Now, what does that mean? Have you ever called somebody and when you call them, they said, "I was just thinking about you." Well, guess what? Right now, God's just thinking about you. Praise God. What is He thinking about? He's thinking about how He can bless you, how He can increase you. Why? Because He promised it to Father Abraham. He said, "Abraham, I'm going to bless you and your seed." So just as Abraham obeyed God and he got blessed, the more he obeyed, the more blessed he became. Just like at the wedding of Cana in John chapter 2, when Jesus showed up at the wedding. And the mother of Jesus said, "Well, hey, they have no wine. You've run out of wine." And He said, "What is that to me?" She said, "Whatever He says to you, just do it." And what did His servants do? They did what He said, and wine increased. I'm saying that increase mainly comes through obedience to God. Hear what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. He says, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Think about me. I came here with $200 to my family with me and no place to stay. Dear sister opened a home to us. But notice what I've been, just obedient all the way. Obedient all the way. When God tells me to do something, I do it. And notice, increase has come. We're televising to over 200 nations of the world. We are running this broadcast. Why? Just obeying God. In Luke 6:38, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men shall give into your bosom." So what are we doing? We've been doing sowing and reaping, and we've been obeying God, and look what God has done in our lives. Now, He's going to do the same thing for you. Whatever He says to you, just do it. That's your responsibility. And so as you do this, I'm expecting increase to come in your life. Let me pray for you right now. If you have your offering in mind or have it in hand, let me pray over it right now that the same God that blessed me is going to bless you. Praise God. Father, we just praise You and thank You now for all of our partners, all of those who are watching us by television or media. We pray, Lord, that as they sow their seed today, that You are the God of increase, that You will increase them more and more, them and their children. Father, we pray that maybe they might not have but a little, but You said You can sow a little and receive a lot, that You will measure it back to them, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Father, we pray that You meet all their need according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now we consider these things done, and we give You praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, this is all we have for this week. This is Bill Winston saying, we sure do love you. Join us next week again for another exciting series of teachings. We love you, and keep walking by faith.
If you treat your faith like a seed, you'd plant it. And you'd plant it by saying it. Once you speak it, the soil of your heart grabs it. This is putting faith to work. You can't say what you see. You got to say what He said. When you say what He said, He can watch over His word and make it good. Now speak the word only.
Faith is your servant. Now put Him to work.
Open your spiritual eyes and allow God to excite your imagination to see your greatest destiny. in Pastor Winston's dynamic teaching, Putting Faith to Work. To order on CD or DVD, contact us online at billwinston.org or by phone at 1-800-711-9327. The mission of Bill Winston Ministries is to preach the gospel of the kingdom throughout the world. This broadcast has been made available to you through the faithful support of Bill Winston Ministry partners and friends. We invite you to become a partner and join Dr. Bill Winston as he trains believers how to live independent of this world system and have dominion over it. Thank you, Bill Winston Ministry partners and viewers, for your continuous support of the Believer's Walk of Faith broadcast.